It's Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. I've already mentioned earlier this morning what we would do in this segment, and really a pleasure and a privilege to be able to welcome our guest. He has written A World in Disarray, plus several other books. This book subtitled American Foreign Policy and the Crisis of the Old Order. Dr. Richard Haass is our guest. He is also the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, and we welcome Dr. Haass to the radio for us this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's jump right into this. When you started A World in Disarray, that was pre-Trump administration. How has post-Trump administration first year added to or affected the disarray that you describe in your book?
Good question. Look, I think the world was already moving in the direction of greater disarray when you think of where we were 25 years ago, when the Cold War ended. And where we were just a year or two ago, and some of the things were just the stuff of history. Countries rise and fall, all these terrorist organizations came about, North Korea was advancing what it was doing, Iran was getting more powerful. I think we, under the Bush administration, broke a lot of eggs in the Middle East, which were never put together. Barack Obama was at times a reluctant president when it came to acting. So my point is simply that Donald Trump inherited a pretty tough situation, but he has gone out of his way day in, day out to make it even tougher.
You have been quoted in the New York Times over the weekend. You were talking about the tweets of the president and how sometimes we need to understand that even when a president tweets, that is looked at by foreign officials as something that seems important, and that is something that I'm not sure how you could put it, but basically they need to be handled seriously as statements coming out of the White House. How do you think that those in other countries are looking at what the president is expressing through his tweets, especially when it comes to foreign policy?
Well, I think they do take them seriously. That's in some ways the principal way this president communicates with the rest of the world. He may not see it that way. He may think he's mainly communicating with his domestic political base. But these tweets go everywhere instantly. So if you're sitting in China or North Korea or wherever, they're not necessarily meeting with U.S. ambassadors. In some of these countries, we still don't have ambassadors. This president doesn't give press conferences for the most part. He gives very few speeches. So this is the way they understand him and they understand American foreign policy. So we shouldn't kid ourselves. And if I were working at the White House, what I would say is simply, look, 25 years ago, presidents used to do press conferences or speeches. This one chooses not to. Fine. Then every tweet he does ought to be staffed out beforehand. We ought to have the State Department and the Pentagon and others look at it. And if he wants to tweet, that's okay. And on occasion, it may be a really good way of communicating. But we ought to take it seriously. The last thing we want to do is get the rest of the world to where they stop reading it, where they stop taking us seriously. And we also don't want him to tweet things, and he shouldn't want to tweet things that go against America's national interest. You really want these things to be considered, not casual.
At this stage, with what we've seen at over the last year or so, and again, going back to your book, when you talk about a large portion of the burden of creating and maintaining order at the regional or global level will fall on the United States, and you talk about how the United States is going to be very important and looked up to. The United States is not sufficient, but it is necessary. And you say that we can be leaders, but again, we cannot do certain things alone. Are other countries looking at the current situation in the United States and its leadership and saying, well, we can't expect what you describe in your book as the leadership role of the United States and depend on that like we did? Is that changing then what United States possibilities are?
The short answer is yes. I travel an awful lot, and an awful lot of people come through New York where I live. And for a lot of our friends and allies around the world, they look at what's going on in the United States, and I'll be straight with you, David. They don't recognize this. They often say to me, "This is not the United States I knew or thought I knew." And you've had, say, a lot of European leaders expressly say now they're going to have to take matters into their own hands and do things without us. So whether the issue is climate change or dealing forcefully with Russia, you see it in the Middle East where Saudi Arabia decided to take matters increasingly into its own hands. And I think for a lot of countries, this is essentially a world in which the United States has become a lot less predictable, a lot less certain, And so they'll also probably test us. And I think that's what we're seeing with countries like North Korea. They are testing us to see what it is they can get away with.
How do you rate the effectiveness and the environment at the State Department right now?
Well, I would give it a failing grade. I'm sorry to say that. I've worked at the State Department several times in my career. I worked there when Ronald Reagan was president under both Secretary Haig and Secretary Schultz. I worked there more recently with Colin Powell. I'm a great believer in the State Department, also in diplomacy. It's important to think of it as one of the tools of American national security. And for reasons that I simply do not understand, this Secretary of State seems interested in reducing our diplomatic strength, cutting back the manpower, cutting the resources, and he's spending a lot of time and effort reorganizing the State Department, which quite honestly is a luxury we can't afford right now. There's too much coming at us. Our inbox is overflowing, whether it's people in the streets of Iran or what's going on with North Korea or Venezuela or you name it. So I would basically say, let's focus on diplomacy right now. Let's do reorganization when things calm down a bit.
For those who say we got what we wanted, for those who are backers of what is the current administration, and they're saying, well, this is what we wanted. We wanted somebody to shake things up. We didn't want it to be business as usual. How do you convince them that, you know what, business as usual is important when it comes to relating to the rest of the world?
Well, I'd probably say two things. One is that we've been pretty well served by what's happened over the last three quarters of a century when the United States played a large role. When we got into trouble, by the way, it's when we got a little bit too ambitious, to say the least, in Korea or Vietnam or Iraq. But by and large, we've been well served by what is going on in the world. It's all affordable. Even everything we're spending now is only a fraction of the rate of spending on defense and the like that we were more than able to support during the Cold War. And I just make one additional point. We shouldn't kid ourselves. We can't be a giant gated community. We can't build a moat around ourselves. If things unravel around the world, whether it's in the Middle East or Asia, we're going to pay an enormous price. We learned that the hard way on 9/11. When bad things happened in Afghanistan, we couldn't insulate ourselves from that. Now North Korea is on the verge of threatening us directly. Climate change is already threatening us and having an effect. So the lesson ought to be what goes on out there, one way or another, will find its way here. So we have got to play a large role. The world doesn't organize itself without us.
Final question for you, and I was trying to figure out how to use the word, and I haven't really come up with a good world word, a world in disarray. How do we undisarray the world? And I know you've addressed this but in the book, but just a point or two, sure, to leave listeners with your thoughts about how we get rid of the disarray.
I'd say the biggest single thing we need to think about is how do we lash together the world, other countries, organizations, whatever, to deal with the signature challenges of this era. That would be things like terrorism or proliferation or climate change or global health challenges. What we need to do is come up with new arrangements, new rules, new institutions. The stuff that served us pretty well since World War II, a lot of that's run its course. Now we have nuclear weapons. We have all these digital tools. We have these new problems with climate change. So we essentially need to rewire the world to deal with this new set of challenges.
Besides yourself, I'm going to squeeze in one more question. Besides yourself, give us a name or two of someone who you would say, watch this person, this man or woman, they understand foreign relations and they understand world relations, and we could learn from them.
Well, I'd say of the rising generation, people who are younger than myself, on the Democratic side, it would be somebody like a Jake Sullivan, who will be one day a national security advisor or secretary of state. I think Fareed Zakaria is the most perceptive of the columnists who regularly write about these issues. And you still have people of the older generation, my generation, the Steve Hadleys in the Republican side, Tom Donilon and others on the Democratic side. I'd say one thing, what's so interesting about this administration is they have denied themselves a lot of the Republicans who would normally have served in administration because a lot of these people oppose candidate Trump. And I think one of the reasons this administration is having trouble is they haven't called upon seasoned Republican foreign policy people with proven track records.
Dr. Haas, I have to let you go. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me, David.
Dr. Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations. His book, A World in Disarray, American Foreign Policy and the Crisis of Old Order, has a new ending to it now in its paperback edition. He has been our guest. This is News Talk 1400 KFRU.